The Day's Markets. Clear insights on today's winners, losers, and what to do next.
And that's where we kick off the show, as always, with a sense of market movements. I'm joined on the line by investment research analyst at FNB Wealth and Investments, Sithembile Bopela, to take a look at markets, see what to make of them. Sithe, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. It seems as though there were no winners in today's markets on the equities front, barring the FTSE in London. Why were markets so downbeat on a Tuesday?
Hi, Jimmy. Very good evening to you and your listeners. Yeah, today was a bit of a rough day. Hey, we did see quite an aggressive sell-off on the local markets in the very last hour, which dragged the market near the day's lows. And that really was tracking other international markets. We did see a mixed turnout when we look at the major economic indices. We saw commodities sort of track lower after US yields spiked, and our miners led the broader market lower. But industrials had a firmer close. The sector, sort of the heavyweights in the sector, sort of led the advance. We saw Naspers and Process outperform Tencent earlier today. And it was generally the dual listed names that tracked higher. And it looks more like capital sort of rotating heavily into the large industrial heavyweights. The Rand is trading softer since yesterday. And so I think it's just the Rand hedge names just doing their jobs there. But generally, you know, global tech, and this is across Asia, the US and Europe as well, had a pullback after really it was Samsung's update that failed to inject, really it was more dopamine into the system, for lack of better words. Expectations have been very high. And while, you know, we are seeing companies, and I'm speaking broadly to the tech ecosystem here, they're printing healthy numbers, but the fundamentals are just struggling to meet the sort of elevated market expectations around these stocks. And that's what's been driving today's broad market decline.
Sithembile, you touched on sector rotations potentially being the cause for why some of the market movements are taking place the way they are. And I want to get your thoughts perhaps around where we go to in terms of sectors. We've loved the AI trade. It has been all the talk for the longest time. We finally come potentially to the end of what has been the most volatile war that we've had in recent times over the last 4 months. Where do investors start to rotate into as we kick off the second half of this year?
We go into the boring stuff, right? The stuff that's not as exciting. And so we are seeing better performance across the personal goods, especially. So you are seeing a bit of an improvement. I didn't mention the Rand hedge names already, but I think it is more sort of away from the overhyped tech, the AI names, the broader sort of technology enablers as well that have also been sort of running or benefiting from the AI tailwinds. And so, yeah, it's definitely what we're seeing play out across markets. And I mean, if we look internationally as well, I mean, the sort of tech-heavy NASDAQ has outperformed the rest of the markets. But when you look at something like the Russell 2000, which covers the small and mid-cap stocks across the markets there, when you look at the Dow Jones, which is the industrial average, so it's looking at the rest of the markets, is holding up relatively well, but it's just not printing as strong sort of exuberant returns because, you know, it isn't as exciting right now.
Well, I happen to think that boring is probably what we need at this point. I think we've had more than enough excitement in the markets for the last couple of months, or at least since President Trump has returned to office. Sithembile, I want to take a look at the performance of the U.S. markets at the moment. The U.S., the dollar against the rand, holding steady. The dollar basket, or the Dixie as we know it, still holding above that critical 100 points mark that it broke above and managed to sustain above. What do we make of where currencies are sitting at the moment, and are they still an accurate proxy or an accurate measure of where risk might be sitting in the market?
I mean, I think it's a combination of factors, right? We are now at a point where, you know, the US-Iran war, there's been, you know, a sort of ceasefire agreement in place, fragile as it might be, and with repeat violations sort of keeping markets on edge. That has, you know, sort of supported sort of the wartime premium, a sort of unwind of that wartime premium. And so that's what we're seeing play out in the dollar and then subsequently across emerging currencies. As I mentioned, the rand is trading a bit weaker. That is a direct sort of consequence of that, but also a direct consequence of commodity prices pulling back as well. And so I think that, you know, markets are generally responding to the geopolitics as they have been throughout the year. And that's what we're seeing play out across the currency markets right now.
Stembile, the oil price, $74 a barrel, not where we wanted to see or where we want to see it. I thought when we got to $70 a barrel that we would potentially chase down 60. At the moment, it doesn't look that way. Of course, still very, very early in the month to tell, considering last month we recovered 20% of the move that we had lost in the war. So markets could still very realistically have a better performing rest of July. What do you make of the oil price as it stands at the moment? Are we pricing in any new risks here?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, oil markets are volatile, right? So there's always going to be sort of up and downs that, you know, the price spikes, so to speak. But I think there's been a significant unwind. I mean, the quarter started, well, the second quarter anyways, started with Brent well above $100. And as you mentioned now, we've pulled back quite significantly. And that's been a very significant decline driven largely by the interim US-Iran peace deal that set a stage for a sort of expectations for a rapid return of Persian Gulf supply, right? And so I think as that kind of plays out and sort of unwinds, we're likely to see, you know, Brent also decouple or pull back in tandem, because right now, I mean, as I mentioned, the ceasefire is quite fragile. You know, there's the strait is open, but there are still missiles flying, so we're not at all in the clear. You know, so there's definitely going to still be that sort of uncertainty and that risk premium in play.
A fragile ceasefire, market uncertainty, and perhaps it's time to start looking at the boring stocks. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. F&B Wealth and Investments' Stembile Bopela joining us to share her thoughts on markets and some of the factors that might be moving them and where we could be headed to for the second half of the year.